Welcome to the PRI Review, brought to you by the Population Research Institute. I'm your host, Christopher Mannion. Xi Jinping places Catholic Church in China under direct party control. The decision means that the proposed Vatican-China agreement would not merely be a surrender of the Chinese faithful to the Communist Party, it would be an utter betrayal of the faith. PRI President Stephen Mosier reports. On March 22nd, the Chinese Communist Party announced that all religious affairs in China would henceforth be supervised by a shadowy party office called the United Front Department. The former government agency responsible for Catholic and other believers, the State Administration of Religious Affairs Bureau, SARA, has been summarily abolished. The reorganization attracted little attention outside of China, but it is certain to have unpleasant repercussions for Chinese believers. I believe that this move means that the persecution of Catholics and other believers is about to get much worse. I believe that this move means that the persecution of Catholics and other believers is about to get much more intense, perhaps rising to levels not seen since the dark days of the 1950s. The change also means that, in all probability, the draft agreement between the Vatican and Beijing that has been under discussion for years is now a dead letter. In fact, signing it now would mean more than surrendering papal authority over the appointment of bishops to the Chinese state, as bad as that would be. Signing it now would be a betrayal of the faithful into the hands of a new red emperor who seems to have a particular animus towards Christians, especially Catholics, and who seems determined to suffocate and extinguish the faith throughout his empire. It is no secret that religious liberty, despite being guaranteed by the PRC Constitution, has always been severely restricted in the People's Republic of China. But to understand why putting religious affairs into the hands of the CCP's United Front Department bodes so ill for Catholics, you need to understand the purpose of the department and its work. The United Front Department was created by Chairman Mao Zedong to co-opt and control non-communist organizations and individuals during the Chinese Civil War. Its efforts were so successful that Mao called it one of the three magic weapons that helped the revolution to succeed. His other two magic weapons were propaganda and, not surprisingly, the Red Army. After the Civil War, the United Front Department was retasked with serving the party leadership by coercing various groups, such as intellectuals and businessmen, into actively collaborating with the newly established People's Democratic Dictatorship. Now that Catholics have been brought under the department's purview, the same kind of pressure will be exerted on them, and the same kind of active collaboration will be demanded of the patriotic Catholic Church with the regime and its goals. The work of the United Front Department, in other words, will not be limited to merely ensuring that Catholic bishops, priests, and laity comply with the regulations governing religious activity. If that was the only issue, then SARA, which was already enforcing such regulations on Catholics, would not have been abolished. Nor does the move simply mean that the Church will be losing the already very limited freedom of action it once had, although this is also absolutely the case. Rather, putting the United Front Department in charge of religious affairs means that the party leadership is determined to make the patriotic Catholic Church into an active agent of control for the regime with a single purpose: to subvert and undermine the faith of the millions of Catholics in China and to prevent them from spreading the faith to others, including their own children. It is nothing less than a hostile takeover, an expropriation, if you will, of the Catholic Church and China. Like Chairman Mao, Xi Jinping hungers for ironclad control over Chinese society and is turning to the United Front Department to accomplish this end. Channeling the late chairman, Xi likewise declared in his October 2017 speech to the National People's Congress that united front work is an important magic weapon for the victory of the party's cause. Even Chinese officials who are trying to sell the reorganization as a way of enhancing the efficiency of government acknowledge that it is an effort to assert control over believers. It means management of religious affairs and ethnic issues will be stepped up, says Yang Shu of Lanzhou University. And we could see the authorities taking a tighter grip than before. A tighter grip indeed. The new regulations for religious affairs, which came into effect on February 1st, are already being rigorously enforced. Students and party members have been warned not to participate in religious activities. Churches have been told to keep minors from attending mass and catechism classes, and summer camps are now off limits. Churches continue to be defaced by having their crosses and statues removed or even demolished entirely. Priests in the underground church have been ordered to register for a clergyman certificate so they can be monitored and supervised. Even the sale of Bibles has been banned as the United Front Department prepares a sinicized, that is, party-approved, version. Like the other organizations controlled through the United Front Department, the Patriotic Church will be henceforth expected to behave like an arm of the Chinese Communist Party in carrying out the will of the People's Democratic Dictatorship. Homilies will be expected to praise the existing order led by core leader Xi Jinping and to promote the official ideology known as Xi Jinping Thought. As for the underground church, it will simply be annihilated insofar as it is within the regime's power to do so. It is not hard to see that there is an irreconcilable contradiction between the impending demands of the United Front Department and the demands of the Catholic faith. United Front tactics will be used, as they were in the late 1950s, to complete the subversion of the Catholic Patriotic Church into an agent of the state. Then the church itself will be used to force the ideological assimilation of all Chinese Catholics into the political order, the People's Democratic Dictatorship that Xi Jinping controls. It is impossible not to conclude that Xi's ultimate goal is that same as Mao's was, namely the total eradication of this foreign religion from the soil of China. The agents of this subversion will be patriotic Catholic bishops like Bishop Peter Fang Zhenpeng of Tangshan, one of three compromised bishops who are members of China's rubber stamp parliament, the National People's Congress. Bishop Fang eagerly promotes Xi Jinping's call for the sinicization of religion, which is the idea that religious should chiefly serve the interests of the Chinese Communist Party that Xi himself leads. The reason why Catholics should support the party and its leader, according to Fang, is because we as citizens of the country should first be a citizen and then have religion and beliefs. Such a formulation, which gives the Chinese Caesar pride of place, leaves no doubt where Bishop Fang's primary loyalty lies. Faced with a similar choice between secular and sacred authority, St. Thomas More famously said, "I am the king's good servant, but I am God's first." Bishop Fang would turn More's affirmation of the faith on its head. He is saying, in effect, "I am God's good servant, but I am Emperor Xi's first." While it is true that the English bishops, with the exception of the martyred Cardinal John Fisher, followed Henry VIII into schism, one might add that at least Henry still claimed to be a Christian. Fang and some of his fellow patriotic bishops, several illicitly ordained, are in effect endorsing the creation of a state church headed by a communist dictator intent upon its destruction. This is obviously a non-starter for faithful Chinese Catholics, whose primary loyalty is to the magisterium, not to the current leader of the Communist Party. While Bishop Fang may insist that all Chinese Catholics follow him into schism, it is safe to say that most will not do so. Many will continue to practice their Catholic faith in the underground church, while others will leave the faith entirely. If the Vatican signs an agreement with the party leadership accepting the newly sinicized Patriotic Church, it will only exacerbate an already worsening situation. It will be seen as a rank betrayal by the Chinese faithful and might well accelerate their exodus from the church. Bishop Fang's new puppet masters at the United Front Department, on the other hand, would be delighted to have the Vatican endorse the schismatic national church that they now control. The demoralization of the faithful that would follow the signing of such agreement would be an added bonus, since it would help them achieve their ultimate goal, the wholesale elimination of Chinese Catholicism. The Vatican needs to stop hobnobbing with those members of the Patriotic Church, such as Bishop Fang, who are wholeheartedly collaborating with the same Communist Party leadership that is daily tightening the screws on our co-believers in China. Instead, the Holy Father should be leading us in offering up fervent prayers and concrete aid to the suffering church in China. If the past is any guide, the suffering and persecution of our co-believers in China is about to get much, much worse. This is PRI Review from pop.org. We'll be right back. Do you want to win pro-life legislative and political battles? For years, PRI has been helping pro-life leaders on the ground around the world to win legislative and political battles in order to protect the lives of the unborn. And now we're asking for your help so we can continue this vital work. Let me tell you more. In a number of countries around the world, there are still pro-life laws on the books. But the Planned Parenthood abortion Uber Alles Malthusians are out there to get rid of those laws. Nearly 5 years ago, the Pontifical Council on the Family asked PRI to be the main organization to help the pro-life movements around the world to be more effective. In response to the Vatican's request, we created our pro-life victory seminars and our pro-life strategy guide. The seminars are grueling, demanding 12 to 14-hour intense working sessions. Only the most proven and successful leaders are invited to speak. Only the best and the most committed activists are invited to attend. To date, we have conducted 60 such sessions in 18 countries. We have trained more than 1,700 people who are serious about protecting the unborn in their respective countries. They have won some victories, but I'm not going to tell you about those because I don't want to put a target on the back of those leaders. I'm not going to tell you the names of their countries either because I don't want to make it even harder for them to do their work. But here's a hint. Most, though not all, have Spanish as their native tongue. It's no secret that south of our border, pro-abortionists are zeroing in on the existing pro-life laws in that part of the world. I cannot tell you the battle stories, although there are many, without endangering the victories of the leaders. I must ask you to take my word that some battles in some countries could not have been won without the training and support received from PRI. What kind of training am I talking about? Everywhere in the world, defenders of life need everything: strategic thinking skills, campaign skills, legislative skills, lobbying skills to protect their pro-life laws and to stop pro-death initiatives. Around the world, we found that the biggest thing lacking is know-how. By that, I mean political sophistication. Here in America, we've been fighting pro-life battles for almost 50 years, and while we haven't won definitively, we have learned a lot about how to fight, as well as how not to fight. One of the most important tools of our pro-life victory training is the manual that the trainees get to take home with them, the Pro-Life Strategy Guide, the guide to winning pro-life battles. Think of it as a field guide to activism. The guide is a compendium of know-how. It is 200 pages of distilled experience and wisdom with step-by-step instructions about how to advance our issue in a representative landscape. Here's a small sampling of the know-how delivered in these training sessions. How to raise money, how to lobby legislators, how to write powerful pro-life advertising, how to effectively appear on TV and radio, how to enlist volunteers, how to get out the vote, and how to successfully debate pro-abortionists. All this and much, much more is covered in the training program and reinforced in the training guide. The first edition came out in 2012, but we are all out of them now. They have all been put in the hands of able pro-life leaders. So today, we have had it revised and updated by two of the best and most successful activists in the Spanish-speaking world. Today, the new PRI, Pro-Life Strategy Guide, the guide to winning pro-life battles, is ready to go to press. This is where you come in. Will you help us get it into the hands of the people who need it? It's in Spanish right now, and that's as it should be, because we distribute it throughout the Spanish-speaking world. The Vatican wants this field manual in every diocese in the world. Will you help me to fulfill that request? PRI has ordered 10,000 copies of the guide to be printed, enough for every student who will attend our training sessions for the next several years, along with all the actively pro-life bishops around the world. Just the printing alone will cost $50,000. The whole International Victory Training Program costs another $50,000, and that is in addition to the field guide. But right now, we want to get those guides printed. So I turn to you because I know you understand its value. The cost comes out to about $5 per book, which is not very much considering the impact it can have and the lives it can save. With your tax-deductible gift of $50, PRI can put this guide into the hands of 10 in-country pro-life leaders. With a gift of $100, we can make sure that 10 friendly bishops get a copy to guide their strategic thinking in the protection of life. No gift is too small. If you can only spare $5, please send it today. Unborn babies around the world will be safer because of your sacrifice today. Can we count on you to help PRI to continue to train and empower the pro-life movement around the world? On behalf of all those fighting to preserve pro-life laws around the world, thank you. Zuckerberg's Ministry of Truth. Facebook is suppressing pro-life voices, and here's the proof. In George Orwell's dystopian novel, 1984, the fictional government's Ministry of Truth was dedicated to spreading propaganda about the regime and its leaders. The censors who worked there, personified by the main character Winston, were constantly distorting reality to prop up the current party line. Mark Zuckerberg, who controls Facebook with its 2 billion users, is attempting something similar. Only this master of the high-tech universe is not using human sensors like Winston, but warehouses full of computers. Zuckerberg has had his computer software engineers design complex computer algorithms. Those are just a sequence of unambiguous instructions written in computer code that direct his computers on their own and largely without any human intervention to promote posts by certain groups while suppressing others. Zuckerberg is a leading member of the coastal elite, so it is no surprise that his new algorithm suppresses the voice of deplorables like us, who believe in the sanctity of life. Since the algorithm was introduced in early 2018, the Population Research Institute's main page has seen a 41% decline in the reach of our posts. That means that our pro-life weekly briefings are now reaching only a little more than half of the people they reached just a few months ago. The effect on other pro-life groups, such as LifeSite News, has been equally dramatic. In fact, every group we know has seen their reach and influence on social media platforms suddenly diminished. The reason is that Facebook, along with YouTube, Twitter, and Google, are deliberately suppressing pro-life, pro-family views while freely promoting left-wing ideology. This ideologically driven censorship has hammered not just pro-life groups, but conservative organizations in general, including giants like Breitbart News and PragerU. According to a report in The Outline, Breitbart News' Facebook engagement has dropped by 28%, while PragerU's has fallen by 32%. Both are publishing more content these days, as we at PRI are, yet they are seeing an increasingly muted response. But it is clear that the primary target is not pro-life groups like us or even the conservative news giant. The real target is our pro-life president and the populist movement that propelled him into the presidency. We are just collateral damage. Zuckerberg, who himself has toyed with the idea of running for president, must have been horrified by Trump's brilliant use of Facebook and other social media platforms to communicate with and mobilize his base during the 2016 campaign. Certainly, many on the left accused Facebook of unwittingly providing Trump with one of the communication tools he used to win the election. As Breitbart's Alim Bokhari has noted, Zuckerberg's new algorithm follows on the heels of a year of pressure from left-wing employees and the mainstream media for allowing the president to win the general election. And that's a quote. Well, given all this, it comes as no surprise that Facebook's cleverly redesigned algorithm has hit Trump Facebook posts the hardest. Our president has seen engagement on his Facebook posts drop by a staggering 45% since the new algorithm was introduced. At the same time, the levels of engagement on the Facebook pages of left-wing icons Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders have remained unchanged. Facebook's response to these seismic shifts in user engagement has been to deny any ideological bias. Indeed, it claims that it has simply decided to promote only quality news from broadly trusted news sites. This is clearly just a dodge. What Facebook is really now promoting are the views of Mark Zuckerberg and other liberal coastal elites. Articles from the relentlessly anti-life and anti-family New York Times and Washington Post will now pop up on your news feed, whether you want them or not. Articles from us or from other pro-life conservative-leaning news outlets such as LifeSite News or Breitbart will not. Why? Because Facebook is deliberately attempting to silence us deplorables. The social media giant doesn't trust us, broadly or otherwise. We at PRI feel a sense of betrayal. We created an account on Facebook years ago on the promise of an open platform where we would be able to air our views on issues we cared about without censorship by gatekeepers or political elites. Now that the platform has become an essential means of communication, Zuckerberg has decided that he, acting like the Ministry of Truth in Orwell's 1984, is going to impose his views on the rest of us by dictating what is allowed to be posted and promoted on Facebook. It feels like a massive bait-and-switch operation, and it is. It seems that way to others as well. Axios reports that Vice President Mike Pence has raised concerns about Facebook's and Google. Though Pence isn't yet pushing internally for any specific regulations, he argues these companies are dangerously powerful, sources told Axios. The VP worries about their influence on media coverage, as well as their control of the advertising industry and users' personal info. End quote. Former White House Chief Strategist Steve Bannon, according to The Intercept, believes that social media platforms like Facebook and Google should be regulated as utilities. Senator Ted Cruz believes that Facebook may be violating Communication Decency Act's safe harbor provision, which grants online platforms legal immunity from content posted by their users. But why does Facebook need such immunity, the senator asks, if it is itself censoring the views of people it disagree with? Unless and until something is done about Facebook's abuse of power, what should you do? Is there a workaround to this insidious censorship? The good news is that there is a way to stay current with the issues you care about, but you have to be even more proactive and engaged. Be sure to like or comment and share all the posts of the groups you want to follow. This will help to overcome the bias of the algorithm and force it to show such posts in your news feeds more often. To date, Facebook has not blocked actual subscribers from receiving posts from us. This means that you can override the algorithm by electing to receive notifications for all of our posts, along with those of other groups you want to be sure to receive. Just go to our page and under the Follow drop-down menu, hit On under Notifications. For the past couple of decades, the Internet has been very effective to promote respect for life. Now those masters of the universe who have come to dominate it have decided to impose their views on the rest of us. In China, this kind of censorship is done by the government. It is only slightly less dangerous to have it secretly done by left-wing ideologues. I don't want my views to be censored by a tech geek, whether it be Mark Zuckerberg or one of his faceless censors silently working in the bowels of the Ministry of Truth. Such people are not only impervious to correction, they are actually angry at the way the unwashed, backwards deplorables like us, who cling to guns and religion, have learned to unite in defense of life. "We will scatter them again," I imagine Zuckerberg saying. "We intended to use our platform to collect their personal information and sell them as products and ideas. How dare they use our platform to promote their own ideas? If our movement is to prevail, the masters of the high-tech universe must not be allowed to succeed." This is PRI Review from pop.org. We'll be right back. By now, we all know that Planned Parenthood is accused in the United States of allegedly violating the law by, among other atrocities, selling baby body parts. But what you might not realize is that Planned Parenthood's affiliates, Planned Parenthood Federation of America, PPFA, and International Planned Parenthood Federation, IPPF, are still getting away with murder overseas. Around the world, and especially in Latin America, the baby-killing giant shades the truth about its abortion-related activities. It runs roughshod over local anti-abortion laws and violates local pro-life sentiment, all with seeming impunity. But not anymore. With your tax-deductible gift, PRI will throw the book at the abortion giants overseas, just as pro-life groups are doing here at home. Did you know that PPFA spends about $38 million a year lobbying to legalize abortion in countries around the world? If they're successful, they can kill as many, if not more, babies overseas as they do in the United States. But there's a hitch. Because abortion remains illegal in most Latin American countries, neither IPPF nor PPFA is eligible for government funding for abortion-related activities as they are in the United States. So PPFA, IPPF, gets around it as only they know how to do, by lying. With a wink and a nod, they disguise the programs they are funding as, quote, education or health programs, women's right, human rights protection or promotion, and anti-discrimination initiatives aimed at protecting vulnerable groups such as women or LGBTs, that means lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender, end quote. Catholic bishops throughout Africa and Latin America complain about this. They call it ideological imperialism, but their voices are not heard in Congress because America's bishops depend on billions in government funding for their own charities. They don't want to bite the political hand that feeds them. Now, PRI receives no government funding, so we aren't hampered by golden handcuffs. That's why your tax-deductible gift to PRI is so important today. As the lead group investigating Planned Parenthood's activities overseas, PRI's Latin American office has uncovered PPFA's thinly disguised efforts to undermine pro-life laws and legitimate abortion on demand. But we've only found the tip of the iceberg, and there is more work to be done, work that we can't do alone. Your tax-deductible gift will help PRI hire a seasoned pro-life legal team to help us expose, investigate, and prosecute Planned Parenthood's affiliates everywhere they prey on women, especially overseas. Together, we'll expose, investigate, and prosecute PPFA and IPPF everywhere it tries to hide the truth. This two-prong attack, complementing the hearings taking place in Washington, will force Planned Parenthood to fight on two fronts. What better way to strike a blow against the real Planned Parenthood, the one we saw in all those horrific videos, than to come at them here and abroad? So please make a tax-deductible gift to support this and all of PRI's baby-saving efforts around the world. Yes, they're powerful. Yes, they're big. But remember, David and Goliath. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Trump administration releases new rule to stop Title X funding for abortion providers. The Trump administration has released a much-anticipated rule, proposal to block federal Title X family planning grants from funding abortion clinics and service providers that offer abortion referrals. The new rule is expected to hit Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers hard. Planned Parenthood alone stands to lose as much as $60 million a year under the rule change if they refuse to disentangle their abortion services from Title X services. Title X is a federal grant program that provides funding to local public and private clinics exclusively for family planning and contraceptive services for low-income and uninsured individuals. The new proposed rule will substantially change current federal regulations by preventing Title X grantees from performing, promoting, encouraging, or lobbying for abortion as a method of family planning. Service providers under the new rule will be required to disentangle abortion-related activities from Title X services and will be prohibited from offering direct abortion referrals or from scheduling abortion appointments for clients. The proposed rule will also require Title X grantees to comply with state and local laws for reporting cases of child abuse, rape, incest, human trafficking, and intimate partner violence. Planned Parenthood clinics have been known to fail to properly report statutory rape, sex trafficking, and other crimes as required by law. The rule will also prohibit grantees from using Title X funds for building costs for facilities that may be used for providing abortion services. Due to a rule change from the Clinton administration, Title X providers currently are required to provide information and counseling on abortion as a pregnancy option, stipulating that Title X clinics must offer abortion counseling to any woman who requests any sort of information on pregnancy options unless she specifically makes it known that she does not want to receive counseling on abortion. The new rules proposed by the Trump administration would remove this requirement, ending discrimination against service providers with moral or religious objections to providing abortion counseling and allowing them to exercise their rights of conscience. Service providers may still offer abortion counseling and information, but will no longer be required to do so. The new proposed rule change appeared on the website of the Department of Health and Human Services. Pro-life allies have been calling the new rule proposal the Protect Life Rule for reinstating much-needed reforms to the Title X program and to disentangle federal funding from the abortion services provided by many Title X recipients. Under the Protect Life Rule, Title X recipients that engage in abortion-related activities will be required to maintain physical and financial separation between their abortion services and Title X services. Recipients that perform or promote abortion will be required to keep separate accounting records for prohibited activities. Clinics may not use the same buildings, examination rooms, waiting rooms, phone numbers, websites, personnel, or workstations for prohibited abortion-related activities. Clinics will also be prohibited from displaying or offering literature, posters, brochures, or other materials that promote or advertise abortion services. While the Protect Life rule does not specifically prohibit federal funding for Planned Parenthood and like providers, the Trump administration is providing Planned Parenthood with a choice. Either disentangle your abortion services from Title X services or lose government funding. After Medicaid, Title X is the second largest source of government funding for Planned Parenthood. According to a government report released earlier this year, Planned Parenthood affiliates spend nearly $60 million a year in funds sourced from Title X grants. The Protect Life rule has been compared to the Mexico City policy due to a number of similarities between the two policies in their application and scope. Much like the Mexico City policy, the Protect Life rule prohibits funding for organizations that perform, promote, or lobby for abortion as a method of family planning or that provide funding to other organizations that actively participate in those activities. Like the Mexico City policy, the rule applies to both direct recipients as well as subrecipients that receive federal dollars through a third party. However, unlike the Mexico City policy, organizations that perform or promote abortion under Title X may continue receiving funding if they financially and physically separate prohibited activities from Title X services. Health and Human Services has determined that its obligations under federal law on Title X are, and I quote, most clearly met where there is a clear separation between Title X programs and programs in which abortion is presented or provided as a method of family planning, end quote. In the supplementary information for the proposed rule, HHS has made it clear that it has concerns with requirements under current regulations to provide abortion counseling and referrals contrary to statutory law. HHS has also made known that it has concerns with the possible risk of commingling funds between abortion-related services and Title X services, as clinics often utilize the same facility's staff and resources for both. HHS has also determined that the use of Title X funds for billing costs for facilities where abortion services are offered concomitantly creates serious fungibility concerns. HHS has submitted the rules to the Office of the Federal Register for publication in the Federal Register. The proposed rule will be open to comments from the public for 60 days after it is published in the Federal Register. This has been PRI Review from pop.org. Thanks for listening. Thank you.